Jim Mars, before we get into John McCain and the situation with him, what about Barack Obama? How did he come about it? It seemed like an overnight success, but I kind of suspect there may be more to it. Or is there?
Yes. For one thing, there seems to be a cogent argument for the fact that Barack Obama is not qualified constitutionally to be president of the United States.
Yeah, there's a lawsuit right now in Philadelphia. The federal judge did dismiss the restraining order request, but the rest of it's still going forward.
Right, but you hide and watch. It'll all get swept under the rug. And why is that? Because the same people, the same global fascists who are running Barack Obama are also running McCain, and this is their little game plan. And as you said, as you pointed out, Jerry, 2 years ago, the average person had never heard of Barack Obama or John McCain much.
Well, McCain was washed up.
Exactly. And yet, all of a sudden, the media, the mass media, the corporate mass media has, these are creations of the corporate mass media. They have created John McCain and Barack Obama. And why is that? Because if they can create them overnight, they can destroy them overnight. And if the playing field was level, and if everything was as we are told it is, and if the Republicans were truly trying to outdo the Democrats, you would think the Republicans would jump all over this issue of Barack Obama is not constitutionally qualified to be president.
I have not.
Ever hear anything out of it?
No, I think I saw one article in the Washington Times about it, and that's about it.
That's it. They, you know, because this is a big media circus that's being done not for truth and not for justice and not for what's best for the country, but just playing the public off against each other, keeping us conflicted and fighting as Democrats, Republicans, liberals, conservatives, so that we cannot band together and point the finger at the global fascists who are taking more and more control over this country.
Now, let's talk about McCain for a moment.
Well, am I the only person who's concerned that according to McCain's own writings and statements, that for 5.5 years, he was in the hands of communist mind control experts? I mean, the documents have now come out of the old, out of Russia, from the old Soviet Union, that they actually sent Soviet mind control experts to Hanoi to work on John McCain. Now, here's the thing, people, you know, I'm sure supporters would say, well, he was a tough pilot, and he, you know, he was a prisoner, and he was okay. He wouldn't cave into that. Well, excuse me, if you go on sites such as Vietnam Veterans Against McCain, and you will find that some of his co-prisoners labeled him Songbird because he told them everything they wanted to know, and apparently was quite cozy with them, and with these mind control experts. And then you say, yeah, but he could withstand it. Well, maybe so, but let's look at his voting record. John McCain has voted for every aid package to Vietnam, and yet he has stumbled, drawn, dragged his feet, and thrown obstacles in the way of the families trying to seek the truth about our POWs and our MIA.
Right. He was. We did a lot of shows about that, especially back there in the 80s.
So is he a Manchurian candidate? Well, you know, I don't know. But I think we should be concerned about that because they had 5.5 years. If you saw the original movie, The Manchurian Candidate, with Frank Sinatra, you might recall that these were some Korean War guys that happened to get caught behind enemy lines, and they were only held for a few weeks. And yet they came back and triggered one of these guys to try to assassinate a presidential candidate. So, you know, we have to be wary of all this, and I think we have to be concerned about it, plus the fact that John McCain has voted for every defense package, intelligence package, war package. He's been totally supportive. He's the one who says, oh, we'll stay in Iraq for 100 years. He's definitely a hawk. And so, you know, if you like the Bush policies, then I guess you better go vote for McCain because you're just going to get more of the same.
Are you familiar with Philip Butler? He was a guy who evidently went to the military academy with John McCain.
I think I did read that
piece. Yeah.
And he basically tries to say that John McCain is a good guy, but he ends up by saying, I would not vote for him.
Yeah. And What is it with they're now questioning McCain's credentials in school? He didn't seem to care a lot about it. and the same with same way with our present president.
Yeah, well, yeah, I do know. I do recall. It seems like he came in near
the bottom,
at
right.
The bottom of his class at the military academy. So, you know, again, though, but then, hey, come on, look at George W. Bush. Obviously, intelligence doesn't count anymore in a president.
Let's talk about George W. Bush and this Nazi thing here. What do you make of these stories that go around to say that the president's father, who was also president, was really a Nazi operative at one time and by another name? Have you seen that stuff?
Yeah, you're talking about the story that George Herbert Walker Bush was actually George Scherf, son of, of Nikola Tesla's accountant. I don't know. I've looked at that. I tell you what, nothing would surprise me anymore. I mean,
it's so far out. You hate to endorse it, but a lot of it rings true.
A lot of it rings true, and it could be. I'm just I'm waiting to see if I can see more evidence. But then when I heard the story that Barack Obama is a cousin to Dick Cheney, I also raised my eyebrows and I laughed and I said, hey, you know, come on, tell me another one. And yet that was verified by Dick Cheney's wife, Lynn Cheney, who said she discovered this while researching the family's genealogy for a book she wrote. So we're cousin to Dick Cheney. How does that work? And out of a country of almost 300 million people, we can't have, you know, I've already mentioned how Kerry and...
they all seem to be intertwined.
Yeah, Al Gore and the Bushes are interrelated. And now we find out that Barack Obama is related to Dick Cheney. Out of a nation of 300 million people, can't we find somebody for public office that's not related to each other? It's just, you know, people need to start waking up. The media hammers us 24/7, bombards us with facts, statistics, information, but rarely do they ever say, here's what this means. And I know in my news career, it was always, don't try to put your opinion in a news story. Just present the facts and let the reader or the listener make up their mind. Well, that sounded good, and I adhered to that for many years, and I still basically adhere to it. But by golly, people today, they're scrambling to make a living. They're scrambling to try to get an education, try to take care of their family. They look to the media to tell them what to think about. And the media just gives them propaganda and disjointed bits of information, making an effort to put it together to say, here's what this means.
I've kind of come around to that thinking as well. I was a big believer in the, you know, the who, what, where, when, and why, and the how.
Give them the facts, just the facts, ma'am.
And naturally, we all are objective if we try, but at the same time, we're coded with our own ideas. I've noticed in, the older generation of broadcast news and print as well, journalism, I try to give the facts, but I always look for an angle.
Right. Well, you know, Jerry, let me give you a really classic recent example of all this. We've all been bombarded with these images and all this talk about Russia moving its troops into the province of Georgia.
Yeah, what do you make of that?
Well, it's all been styled as, here's this poor, weak Georgia who is trying to struggle its way into a democracy, and bad old Russia sends their troops in to put them down. And let me tell you something. The truth is, it's the exact opposite. Georgia, we are trying to bring Georgia into NATO, and just as we have Poland and the Czech Republic, and let's back off and look at it. Jerry, you know that after the collapse of communism, Russia, with no provocation, no pushing, voluntarily pulled their military out of Eastern Europe. And they said, okay, Cold War's over. Let's just all stay in place, and we'll have peace. So what has the United States done? Under both Clinton and Bush administrations, but primarily the Bush administration, we've enrolled Poland, Czech Republic, and now trying to get Georgia into NATO, our Western-orientated military alliance, and Bush is trying to put missiles in Poland and Czech Republic and in Georgia. Okay? Now, think about it. What would we be doing if Russia was trying to plant missiles, say, 90 miles off our shore, say, in Cuba? Oh, oops, wait a minute. They did that, didn't they? And we almost went to World War III, telling them we weren't going to stand for that, and they had to get them out of there. And they did. So now Georgia, which, by the way, is host to 1,500 Blackwater mercenaries, and as their troops were ferried that were serving in Iraq were flown back to Georgia on U.S. military aircraft, and Bush has hailed their leader, their president, as this great freedom lover, and yet this guy has imprisoned his enemies and shut down the TV stations and declared martial law. No wonder Bush likes him. So, and then when they moved into South Ossetia and almost laid waste to their capital and was killing people, Russia stepped in and said, no, you're not going to do this, and made them stop. And then over here, our corporate media, run by National Socialists, tells us that Russia is the bad guy. Excuse me, we're just not getting the straight of it. And nobody on the media, when we talk about how they're trying to portray it as if Russia's spreading out, you know, being aggressive, ambitiously territorial, trying to gain more territory, create an empire. And yet the reality is that they had an empire at one time, including most of the Eastern European nations, and they voluntarily pulled out of that.
Yep.
We're the ones who are making the aggressive moves.
Seems like the October surprise might be the return to the Cold War and World War III. I hope not.
Well, you know what? These National Socialists are not above that if it'll achieve their purpose. And that's why it's so incumbent upon each and every one of us as freedom-loving individuals to make ourselves aware of the truth of what's going on, and then don't just sit there and turn on your TV. Start trying to do something about it. Write a letter to the editor. Host a book review club in your home. Host a political meeting. Go run for the school board. Run for the city council. Start locally and try to regain this country for constitutional...
I understand what you're saying. The Rise of the Fourth Reich. Jim Morris, the author, is our guest. We'll be back to talk about the thing I want to talk about, Jim, when I come back, really, is who is the most evil of this group that we mentioned, the Bakers, the warmongers, the oil companies. We'll be right back.
The year was 1970 when Jack Blanchard and Misty Morgan released their first big single hit, Tennessee Birdwalk. For the first time in the history of music, this 45 RPM single becomes available to the public in the form of a mouse pad. Made of high-quality quarter-inch rubber, this fabric-covered 8-inch mouse pad delivers your mouse a very smooth ride. For only $9.95 plus $2.50 shipping and handling, your mouse pad will be rushed via USPS first-class mail. Simply click on the happy little mice and be directed to our ordering page. Hurry while this limited time offer lasts.
Jim Morris is our guest, and we're talking about the Rise of the Fourth Reich. I hope we don't have a sequel to this, but we might. Maybe we should have a sequel where the Rise of the Fourth Reich falls.
Well, that's it. I end the Rise of the Fourth Reich by saying that the fall of the Fourth Reich has yet to be written, because that's going to be up to you, the listener, and the reader. You're going to have to do something. We can't just sit back. And, Jerry, you know, for years and years, I'm sure you've heard it, when you try to talk about politics or government or whatever, so many people would say, oh, well, let them take care of it, right? Just let them take care of it. Well, folks, they have taken care of it. And you're not going to be real happy with what they've come up with.
That really, I guess, lays out how the American change from what we were 50, 60 years ago to what we are now, the bully on the block, in my opinion, it came about because we just weren't engaged.
No. Everybody just said, well, let them take care of it. And particularly when it came to foreign policy. Foreign policy of the United States is, of course, administered through the State Department. And the State Department has come under the control of the Council on Foreign Relations since before World War II and continues under that control. So when something is happening in a foreign country, such as the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, you can blame the Council on Foreign Relations. It's because this is what they want. In fact, Jerry, let me just give you an example of conspiracy, and perhaps the greatest conspiracy going on in the world today. As we're sitting here talking, and as the people who are listening to this, we know, on the one hand, that in the United States, or certainly in the world today, we have the technology to adequately feed and clothe and give minimum health care to every single living person on this planet. But we also know, on the other hand, that even as we're talking and even as people are hearing this, that there are literally thousands, perhaps millions, of children who are starving to death right at this moment around the world. Why is that? I don't want that. I know Jerry Piven doesn't want that, and I would pretty much believe everybody listening to this. Nobody would really want that situation. But think about it, folks. If nobody wanted that, it wouldn't be happening. So once you get past the facile explanations and rationalizations about, well, money, transportation, governments, blah, 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 what it boils down to is it's that way because somewhere somebody wants it that way. If nobody wanted it that way, it wouldn't be that way. So that is not only proof of conspiracy, it's proof of the biggest conspiracy going on right now. This whole Earth, our planet, our blue globe that's out here on the far edges of the Milky Way galaxy, we're kind of out in the boondocks here, and yet we have a beautiful world filled with resources and an environment that, even though it's being degraded, is still wonderful. And if we would all just simply put our mind to it, we could all be living in a paradise on this world. But we're not, and it's because somebody doesn't want it that way. And I say it's time to wake up, and it's time to confront the manipulators and the controllers and tell them, no, we're not going to do this anymore.
So what do you think we can really do? Just get involved on the local level and work our way up?
Well, you know, it's hard to say, Jerry, because I'm sure you'll agree with me that, you know, each individual is going to have to decide for themselves what they can and what they're willing to do. I have been fortunate and I've been able to write books and reach a large number of people, so I'm doing what I can do. Other people, George Carlin, for example, another Fort Worth boy who just recently passed away, you may know, you know, he reached people through his humor.
Mm-hmm.
Other people have blogs on the internet. Other people go around and hand out leaflets. Other people just hold meetings in their home, and other people run for local office. There is not one thing that's going to be the panacea to everything, but what we all have to do is we all have to get out and do something to your friends and neighbors.
Yeah, everyone has a sphere of influence. Even the meanest son of a bitch in the world has five people at his funeral.
Right.
Yeah, right. I think the basic problem here is people are not informed because it's really attractive not to be informed. It's too
comfortable. It's not to be informed. Because, you know, the idea is subconsciously we tend to think that, well, if I don't know about it, then it's not my fault, and I can't be blamed for anything, you know. But, again, what you don't know can hurt you. And if these global fascists decide to gain total control either through another false flag terrorist event or a pandemic that they loose on the public, you know, surely you don't believe this story that Bruce Ivins, who his friends and neighbors and church fellow church members all said was this really great guy, and he's hounded by the FBI and then taken into custody, and then they said he died, he committed suicide, and then they blamed the anthrax attacks on him, even though by all accounts he had neither the means, motives, or even opportunity to create that anthrax. That came from deep within our military biochemical warfare section.
If we look at many of these deaths that occur, there's one key to me, and maybe you can flush this out for me here. These people seem to know something, and they're maybe on the verge of talking. You know, there were three or four suicides there in a row one week in connection with this missile thing, the mix-up of the nuclear weapons on the...
And then you had the D.C. madam.
Something's going on there.
They outed her so they could get rid of Elliot Spitzer. And then she began going on the media and saying that some of her girls had overheard talking, that they could give information about who was truly behind 9/11. And she said, and I'm not in a suicidal mood. And yet they found her hanging in her apartment and said, ruled it a suicide. And everybody went, oh, okay. Now listen, now Jerry, think about it. That's Nazi methodology. In pre-war Nazi Germany, anybody who got in their way ended up dead.
You know, you and I have talked about it, and you agreed to consult me on the 9/11 stuff. We've never really done a big series about it because a lot of other people are doing it, and I want to get some people that are really talking about it, and that's almost impossible, as you know. But what's happening? What's happening there now?
Well, there is more and more people are beginning to wake up and beginning to pay attention to 9/11. And 9/11 is the foundation for everything that's going on today. Guantanamo, the abuses at Abu Ghraib, and the wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, the stripping of our civil liberties, the Military Commissions Act, the president signing statements, the policies of saying that they can declare anybody they want to an enemy combatant and lock them away without a trial, without habeas corpus, all of this can be laid at the foot of 9/11. If 9/11 hadn't happened, none of that would have happened.
We say follow the money, which, hey, it was the biggest insurance heist, for sure.
That's for sure. How would you like for a $125 million investment for less than a year to make $6.8 billion?
And I guess
by the way, Jerry, if you look at the insurance companies involved in the World Trade Center payouts, you find we're not talking about State Farm or Prudential. We're talking about Swiss Re, Allianz, the giant German insurance company that during the war insured the Nazi concentration camps against damage by their inmates should they decide to revolt. These are all people owned by people that are members of the Bilderbergers. This shows at the level of the world class of financiers and power brokers, this is who's involved at the very top in 9/11.
Well, you just look about 9/11 and the effect it's had. Here's the Democratic Party, who obviously the people that are members of common people around the country, the main beat and drumbeat that they have is to stop the war. But yet even Barack Obama, who ran against stopping the war, has bought into this 9/11 thing, and we got to go to Afghanistan and go get the real people, et cetera, et cetera.
Why is that? I submit to you it's because in Congress, let's go back to the Democrats gained control over the Congress, and it was clear that the American people and the voters wanted a change. And yet, right off the bat, Nancy Pelosi says, no, impeachment's not even on the table. We're not even going to consider that. And even though they impeached Bill Clinton for having sex, but they can't seem to impeach Bush for killing people. And then also, at the same time, they turned around and kept voting for all the war funding bills, okay? Now, why is that? Now, I'm here to suggest to you that, again, we see Nazi technology, methodology at work. These people will stop at nothing to achieve their purposes, and if they can't buy you, they'll kill you. And in Congress, if you look, the ones who aren't bought off are scared off and intimidated either through blackmail. I'm sure you've seen that list. Three quarters of the Congress has been arrested for something or another, and probably liable for other arrests or all kinds of things. So they're subject to blackmail. Or if you stand up and try to do what's right and oppose the war, oppose the Patriot Act, like Paul Wellstone, your plane goes down. Or you have a heart attack. Or you get hit crossing the street. Or whatever. This, again, you go back and study the rise of the Third Reich, Hitler's Nazis. It's the same thing. People have gotten their way, just disappeared, or were cowed into silence, or just killed.
What do you make of McCain's vice presidential lady? Yeah, you know, I know the polar bears don't like her.
That's too recent. I've already checked. As far as I can tell, she is not a member of the Trilateral Commission of the Council on Foreign Relations. But then, you know, so many people are now becoming aware of them. They're now actively looking for non-members, to represent them. But I will say this, she's a nice-looking lady.
Yeah, that's true.
And I have no particular personal objection to a female in the White House, okay? I think it's overdue, and I think we could use a little of that feminine energy.
Yeah, and you ought to do away with a little of the machoism.
Yeah, well, hey, Jerry, they couldn't be any worse than some of these guys we've had up there.
You got a good point there. What's happening with Jim Mars besides your book here? Somebody down in Texas called me and said the other day, said Jim Mars is going to be here at a UFO thing in October. Is that true? You got anything going on down there?
Yeah, October the 25th, I believe, here in Fort Worth, we're going to have a Texas UFO forum. You find out. You find out. UFO.
I like that.
It's going to be
like
pretty
that.
Interesting. We're going to have, I'm going to give kind of an overview. We got Nick Redford, who's written a number of books on UFOs and what the government knows. He has researched and has many, many government documents. And then we have Ken Cherry, the state MUFON director, Mutual UFO Network. He's the one who led a 10-man investigation team to the Stephenville area at the first this year to find out what was going on down there. And there's going to be lots of... And then we got C.L. Turnage, who's written some books on ancient astronauts and biblical UFOs. And it's going to be an interesting day. I'm also going to be at the... annual crash retrieval conference.
Good.
Las Vegas, and that's in the 1st of November.
November, right, always in Las Vegas, and always a good conference. I don't have the date in front of me, but it's...
Yeah, it's November the 7th through November the 9th.
Okay, a little early. What are you working on for another book, or are you...
Well, I'm waiting to see what the response is to... the rise of the Fourth Reich, and seeing if maybe I would love if people could clearly see who it is that is their enemy. And trust me, the enemy of the conservatives is not the liberals, and the enemy of the liberals is not the true constitutional conservatives. In fact, on many, many issues,
they're very similar.
Agree. Yeah, there's just a few.
I give you a little story. As you know, I'm a liberal, and Tom Coburn is from my hometown as well, a senator, pretty conservative fellow, and we agree on a lot of things, but for totally different reasons.
But here's the main thing, Jerry. The thing that you and I think everybody listening, could absolutely get in agreement on is that we want a nation dedicated to individual liberty and freedom.
You're right. And I think...
We can all just agree to disagree. See, when you argue over, politics is always there, it's always going to be with us. Politics is basically, everybody agrees that we need better roads, okay?
It's just how to get them.
It's how we go about it.
Yeah, right.
Hey, well, let's put a toll rate, and liberals say, no, let's just, you know, get money out of the general fund. And then they argue about it. That's politics, okay? And that's always going to be that way. And so what we're talking here about National Socialism and fascism and the Nazis, we're not talking about normal politics. We're talking about a political philosophy based on the end justifies the means that results in people being killed and being by both overtly and covertly by drugs and tainted food and genetically modified food for the purposes of profit and control. And that's not politics. That's criminal activity.
I urge people to read the book, The Rise of the Fourth Reich. Jim Mars, thanks very much.
Thank you, Jerry.